Good evening and welcome to the 2017 Birmingham Mayoral Debate, presented by WBHM and the Birmingham Business Journal. I'm WBHM's news director, Gigi Duban, and this evening we'll hear from the top three candidates in Birmingham's race for mayor as determined by public polling. They are incumbent William Bell and challengers Chris Woods and Randall Woodfin. Tonight's program was recorded at the Harbert Center in downtown Birmingham in front of a live audience. Helping me lead the debate are WBHM's local government reporter, Cheryl Wheeler-Stewart, and Birmingham Business Journal editor Ty West. We'll start the debate now with opening statements. First, from Mayor William Bell.
Gigi, thank you, and thank you to the panelists, and thank all of you all for being here this morning. You know, I've been honored for the past 10 years to be the mayor of this great city. At the time that I became mayor, the entire country was in an economic downturn. The city of Birmingham was faced with a $78 million deficit that had to be cleared up right away. We didn't shy away from taking on the challenge of strengthening this city and stabilizing this city's financing. But we also knew that we had to be about the business of creating jobs. And when you look at the record over the past 10 years, over the past 8 years, you will see that we developed relationships with the Small Business Administration. We developed relationships with the Secretary of Commerce here in the state of Alabama. Working with Jefferson County and other organizations, we have been able to attract businesses from around the world to come and locate right here in Birmingham. I have not been a mayor who sat back and let others take charge of our economic future. I've been actively involved in working with companies like the Steris Corporation, who bought one of our local companies, and that was a big fear. That was a big fear that that company would be moved out of here. Instead, I went to Cleveland, Ohio, met with the Steris representatives, and not only did we maintain IMS here in this community, we're starting to have other businesses that Steris own come into the city. They're planning on building a worldwide corporation right here in the city of Birmingham. When you talk about small business, working with the Small Business Administration, we have created programs that take small businesses and entrepreneurs and give them a six-week training course so that they understand how to run a business, how to get the capital and the equity so that their cash flow will meet their expectation to take on larger projects. We also have been working with organizations such as the BBA, the Birmingham Business Alliance, to develop industrial properties so that we can have more companies that move in here,
high-tech
companies and other companies, so that our people will have the jobs that they need. Thank you
very much. Mr. Woods.
Good morning. My name is Chris Woods. I'm a native of Birmingham. I went to Cary Togo Elementary School and Parker High School. I'm the son of a great man, Bishop Calvin Woods, my father who's here today. I'm one of 13 children. I have six brothers and six sisters, and five of my brothers are pastors like my father, and two of my sisters married pastors. One of my other brother wants to be a pastor, but he said no one has called him yet. And my other three sisters love Jesus, and they were all Alabama fans, and then I got a football scholarship to Auburn, and that's when everybody got saved. How about that? I love Birmingham. Birmingham is my home, and my vision for Birmingham is to unite people from all walks of life, irregardless of your political party, your business, 501c3s, the faith-based community. We all must come together, all 99 neighborhoods, all 23 communities, all nine districts. The mayor and the council must work together, and once we do that, we can go on to the highest level of achievement with regional cooperation. But until we get the inside, home front together, we can't expand outside to accomplish the greatest accomplishment this city can accomplish. We cannot accomplish it without unity. I saw firsthand in the 60s, during the most challenging time of our city, where unity brought this city together. I saw firsthand what could be accomplished through the power of unity. I don't mind telling you, I may not have the best idea. And I won't be a mayor that knocked people down to make himself look good. He continued to say it was a $77 million deficit when it was not. The accountant disagreed with it. He fired the lady. She won in court. And you don't have to push somebody down to elevate your accomplishment. Together, through teamwork, everybody will achieve more. I will be a mayor that will represent you at the highest integrity, and I will restore the public trust implementing transparent government.
Thank you, Mr. Woods.
Time. Thank you.
Mr. Randall Woodfin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Randall Woodfin, and I am running for mayor of Birmingham because, like you, we're living in a tale of two cities. The neighborhood I grew up in, North Birmingham, is full of overgrown lots, abandoned homes, and unpaved streets. The neighborhood elementary school I went to, North Birmingham, is closed. The hospital I was born in, Caraway, is dilapidated. Some of you may have seen it driving into town. Yet we are also seeing pocket growth in our city. It's time to have a mayor we can trust that will invest in and commit to all 99 neighborhoods. You know, the current administration is full of broken promises. The broken promise to address crime, yet we've seen crime increase. The broken promise to alleviate poverty, yet we've seen poverty increase. It's time to have a mayor with a sense of urgency that wants to improve the quality of life of all the people that live in the city of Birmingham, as well as work collaboratively with the city council and knows how to play in the sandbox well with others. Think about that for a second. This is not about change for change's sake. We hear that word over and over again in this election. What this is really about is progress for everyone that lives in the city of Birmingham. Thank you.
Thank you. We will move on to the questions portion of the debate. Cheryl, if you would ask the first question.
Good morning, and this question is for each of the three candidates to answer, and I will include in this question some information from one of our audience members this morning who says, I'm upset by the killing of mostly young black people that goes on each week in the greater Birmingham area. Just days ago, a 2-year-old was shot and killed riding in a car in Avondale. Birmingham ranks high in its homicide rate compared to other metropolitan cities. Given the city's budget constraints, what will you do to curb violent crime in Birmingham? Can you tell us in your analysis why efforts have failed so far to reverse these terrible situations over the last 2, 3, and 4 years?
Randall Woodfin, let's begin with you, please.
I believe Cheryl started out her statement by saying someone from the audience included in the question that they're upset. Whoever wrote that question, I want you to know I'm upset too. But I'm beyond upset. I'm really sad. I'm frustrated. My heart is broken. As a prosecutor for the city of Birmingham, I know crime is on the rise in our city. As a victim of crime, having my own brother murdered, I know, even with my mother sitting in this audience, there are too many grieving families in our city. I know as a son of a father who just retired last year as a state parole probation officer, too many men and women are leaving prison and are having a hard time adjusting to life. And as a nephew of uncles who've been to prison, I can tell you that adjustment is extremely hard. Yes, we have a crime problem in our city. And the current administration has failed to address it, and let me tell you why. You can't receive a Crime Stoppers award when we have 2-year-olds and 4-year-olds dying in our streets. You can't. And it goes beyond that. The current administration in 7 years has failed to address a real public safety plan for this entire city of reducing crime. Yes, we have the Violence Reduction Initiative, but here's the deal about the Violence Reduction Initiative. Nothing about it has solved crime. Nothing about it has decreased crime. We have a poverty problem in our city. And as poverty's done this over the last 7 years, crime has done this over the last 7 years. So addressing crime, let's alleviate poverty first. We got to put guns out of our young boys' hands by making sure we put jobs in their hands. It's going to take a mayor committed to do that, and I am committed to doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Woods.
To piggyback on what my brother Randall said, I agree, these young men with guns, we're going to change the law. right now, 18 years old, they can go and get a pistol permit, but you have to be 21 to buy booze, is that right? And that's sad. We need to deal with that. I will attack the crime program. It's 90% of the crime in the city of Birmingham, Mr. Stewart, are being committed by our young black men. That tells me we have failed them educating them. And what I would do, immediate action as mayor, is to fully staff the police department. We're 150 policemen short, and we'll do this to take proactive measures to prevent the crime from happening, to start with, do everything we can. I believe in closed-circuit TV, that state-of-the-art technology should be in place to be proactive and have our police officers highly visible. And that'll be my immediate plan, my long-term plan. I'm a certified educator, and education is the key. The early childhood development is where it starts at. And we will propose the fund of such a dynamic, state-of-the-art early childhood development where our young kids going in 3K, 4K, by the time they get to the first grade, will be reading on a first grade level, and in some cases, a third grade level. So now those kids are ready, they are learning, they don't have to be passed along. And the 7th through the 12th grade, my degree is in industrial arts. I will bring the industrial arts program back to the city of Birmingham, make it available to every student. Because I'm going to tell you this, until you give our young men economic options, until we let them see themselves succeeding in life, all this is just lip service. We can talk the talk, but we got to walk the walk. And if we love our children the way we say we love them, then we'll be willing to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Mayor Bell?
The question was, what would you do? I look over the past several years when violent crime started rising in our community. There's only one person in here that don't have to read about it or listen to it on the TV first thing in the morning. Because the minute our police department is made aware of a homicide, my phone goes off. I go to the scene. I look at the face of parents. I look at the face of individuals who have lost their loved ones. It weighs on my heart and on my shoulders each and every day. Now, what do I do about it? Yes, we do have a number of officers that we need to have more of on our police force. In this past legislative session, we went down to Montgomery to ask for the power to bring back retired police officers. Why is that? Because police officers now with the city of Birmingham can retire after 20 years. We lose the best experienced officers due to retirement. I'm trying to bring those officers back. We work with a number of programs. You've heard of Ban the Box. Yes, we've got to figure out a way to, when individuals come out of incarceration, we got to find a way to get them back into job-producing environment, back to becoming productive citizens. The Ban the Box program is to allow individuals who have a criminal record or have been incarcerated to apply for a job with the city of Birmingham without having to indicate whether or not they've been in jail. We're trying to work with a number of corporate entities to get them to understand that we've got to have a society that's inclusive to put everyone back to work. Because if someone comes out of jail and don't have a job, they're going to revert back to what they're doing. This gentleman here, Mr. Woods, his father know that I funded every buyback program, gun buyback program that they've had. I've been proactive working with everyone in this community to reduce crime. And like I said, it weighs heavily on my heart, and we're going to continue to push forward to give our citizens the tool to pull themselves away from violent crime. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ty?
Yes, this question is specifically for Mr. Woods. You've noted in your campaign that one of your goals would be to boost fiscal transparency and also reduce fiscal waste. Specifically, how would you go about doing that, and also do you think it would require any cuts to jobs or services?
Well, no, I don't think it will be. A transparent government is just being open, not operating in the light and not in the dark, not doing backroom deals, not doing deals under the table, pay-per-play politics. This being open and truthful with the public is what I feel that would be. I feel the council, I don't feel as mayor as this mayor has done. He spent, I was told, over $80 million without city council's authorization. I don't think taxpayers' money should be used in that. in that format. The travels and the trips, and I think the frivolous travels and the excessive abuse and uses of taxpayers' money is what I question. We built the Regents Park down here for $64 million, and I was told contractors hadn't been paid. Well, I'm in the building business. I've built stadiums. The mayor of Hoover, Frank Skinner, said they built, they spent $12,800,000 then when he built it. Today, we convert that to be $30 million. Montgomery built a larger stadium for $22 million. Memphis, the Peacock, spent only $25 million, yet they have more seats. Our program is a sham because we can never host the SEC tournament. And we are limited. $64 million, that's transparency. That is an abuse and waste of taxpayers' money. Not to mention the Pratt City dilemma, when our mayor could have accepted federal funding from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, he turned it down instead to award his friend company a no-bid contract for $10 million. Now, that's abusive of taxpayers' money, and I believe in keeping the citizens open because you are the one that we serve. And this is the taxpayers' money. It is not personal money. If the mayor is serious about crime, he would reduce this bodyguard budget he has and put it into the police department.
Thank you, Mr.
Woods. That's what I'm talking about, transparency.
Thank you very much. Mayor Bell, would you like a one-minute rebuttal?
Well, first of all, the investment that we made with the baseball stadium has yielded great benefits. When you go and look at all the development, over $250,000 worth of development has taken place around the baseball stadium. It has been an impetus that has caused downtown to revitalize itself. When you talk about, when somebody make a wild statement that I've spent $80 million without any approval, you can check that. You can check that. And that's a total, well, I won't say what it is. We're going to continue to move this city forward regardless of what anybody says. You have to be bold, you have to be aggressive, you have to take the steps necessary to make a city that you can be proud of. And as your mayor, I will continue to do that.
Thank you. Randall Woodfin, would you?
Absolutely.
Like a 1 minute rebuttal?
I believe the question is, how do we spend taxpayers' dollars? We've had $65 million increase in our city's revenue, but it's not being spent in a transparent way. City of Birmingham doesn't have a we don't have enough money problem. We have a how our money's being spent problem. And the current administration is not transparent. Any of you, right now, go down to City Hall, fill out a public records request to ask about travel, hotel lodging expenses, eating expenses out of town. You will have to get right up to the line of suing this current administration to let that information be revealed to you. How your money's being spent should be public information all the time. It should live on the city's website. It should be reported at City Hall meetings. It should be reported to the neighborhoods, but it's not. We have a problem in the city with transparency, and you're not going to get it from the current administration, period. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl?
This question is for all three candidates, and it follows along a similar line of questioning regarding transparency and finances. I do ask that you be specific in addressing the question. And this comes, it was submitted via Facebook by Rick Newton. Discuss at least one aspect of city government, a department, a bureaucratic system, or program you believe is inefficient or duplicative. And over the first 6 months of your administration, tell us what you would do to eliminate inefficiencies, redundancies, or bureaucratic hassles. We know the problem, you may know the problem, but tell us what your plan is for fixing.
Mr. Woods, let's begin with you.
Oh, it's so much. As a business owner for the past 28 years, going to the city, what first comes to mind is going in and get a building permit. So that would be the construction and engineering department when I go and submit drawings and specifications to get a building permit. Now it takes me 6 to 8 months to get that permit because somebody didn't go the zone and board of adjustments didn't see this, design review didn't see it, and my client is having to be delayed getting his project done because I cannot get a business commit. Those inefficiencies will be immediately eliminated under the Woods administration, because what we'll do is do a better job of streamlining as a construction manager, program manager who handles hundreds of millions of dollars successfully for the city and save the city money under my leadership. That never happened because we had action item agendas that we went through and we made sure that everything was moving ahead of schedule. That's one. The other one is the police department, because there's no greater priority to me than the safety and the education of our children, and really, really equipping the police department. 9 vehicles was broke down, and I was at a neighborhood meeting, and the lady told the president, hey, the cars are broke down. That's why you have not seen them. Other policemen says bullet holes in their cars. Other, because it's 150,000 to 200,000 miles on the vehicles. If it's really getting in that fund and that property like I've been preaching as my number one priority, with something that would be a utmost priority for me.
Thank you. Mayor Bell?
I would like Mr. Whitfield to go. You had me speak in the middle of these two gentlemen before.
Mr. Whitfield?
Yeah, if Mayor Bell wants to change the rules, let's go. Here's the bottom line. City of Birmingham with a $428 million budget. Separate from that in this hand, $150 million in bond money since 2012, $75 million in two phases. As I stated earlier, we don't have enough money problem. We have a higher money's being spent problem. And when I've listened to residents over and over again, they complain about basic services. Services from the cities with tax dollars, whether it's from public works, our police, our fire public safety department, our finance department dealing with opening their business, et cetera. But you want to know where the inefficiencies are, according to Rick Newton's questions? The mayor's office has 52 administrative assistants. There is not one business owner in this room that has 52 administrative assistants. If there are, that doesn't exist. The mayor's office has 101 people budgeted for this year's fiscal budget to the tune of over $10 million, a mayor's office. Where we're short in police, we're short in firefighters. So let's cut the mayor's office, because no mayor needs 52 administrative assistants. No mayor needs 101 people to serve at the pleasure of the mayor. That is an abuse and negligence of tax dollars, period. I still got time, so let's keep talking about it. When we look at our departments across the city, here's what we have. Some are overstaffed, some are understaffed, and some are too top-heavy. In some of those departments, two of those issues exist. It's possible that we are understaffed with police officers on the street, and at the same time, too hot, top-heavy at the top as it relates to an administrative building, as it relates to our police force. Let's put more money with beat officers on the street to respond to crime. And as a lawyer and an employee for the city, I can tell you the current administration is too inefficient with tax dollars and how they're being spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Bell.
One of the biggest assets that the city of Birmingham has is the Crossplex, which is a sports athletic competitive arena. That wasn't my idea. That was a former mayor, Larry Langford's idea, but it fell upon me to build it and to maintain it and staff it. The employees that they're talking about that work on the mayor's staff, half of those employees work out at the Crossplex. And if you check online, every organization that national organization for athletics, they rave about how well the Crossplex is run. They try to paint the picture that I've got all these people sitting in my office, working, doing nothing. But that's not true. We are running the most efficient government possible. We have developed an app that now you can go online. It's called OpenGov, that you can go and find out the finances of the city. You don't have to submit a request. You have the power within your fingertips to go online and find out what the city is spending, find out what they're doing in various departments. Getting back to the specifics of the question itself, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do is to look at how we can utilize technology to make our departments more efficient. Whether you're talking about planning and engineering, which is incorrect, it does not take 6 to 8 months to get a business license or a construction license. In fact, we've developed a one-stop program whereby a developer can get a personal concierge treatment to go in there and work them through the process so that it doesn't take more than 6 weeks to get a business license. But we use technology to coordinate all of that. And each week, I get a printout of everything that's going on. I have an overview of the what's working, what's not working, and we try to make those adjustments to make it more efficient. As your mayor, I will continue to look for ways to make government better, more responsive, and to do the type of things that you expect it to do in moving this city forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Ty?
This is a question from all candidates. It's also one from the audience and one we regularly hear from the business community. What specifically are your plans to help improve public transit in the city? And also noting that Alabama has no dedicated state funding for public transit, would you be comfortable with the city increasing its funding for transit in the area? We'll start with Mr. Woodfin.
I have a cousin by the name of Brenda Chisholm. Brenda lives in Collegeville. She works at the Arby's on Crestwood Boulevard. That's not a lot of miles between her home and Arby's to get to work, yet it takes her two buses over 75 minutes to get to her job. Everybody knows, anybody listening to what I've just shared knows that's not right, that there are too many Brendas that live in our city as it relates to simply trying to get from point A to B, from home to work, from work to home, or from home to the grocery store. We as a city have to do more to invest in and support public transportation. And yes, I can already tell you, there's gonna be conversation up here about an intermodal facility. But what's a new intermodal facility if we have buses breaking down? What's a new intermodal facility if it still takes people over 60 minutes to get to work in the same city they live in? It's not just money that's the problem with our bus system. It's operations and efficiency too. So when we think of BJCTA, there's partnerships and cooperation with this, a Birmingham-Jefferson County Transit Authority. We need more support and help from our partners in the county too, who have received more money. We can leverage more money from them. But it's also about being efficient. When we talk about operations, a lot of us in this room see buses ride down the street, whether it's on First Avenue North, Highway 31, anywhere in the city, and a lot of these buses are not full. What's the real conversation that the mayor is having with those executives to say, listen, let's use 16 passenger vans for these routes, decrease fuel costs, spend that money more on routes that are needed. We have to be more efficient in supporting public transportation, and today that doesn't exist. Public transportation is a human right, and as the mayor's office, we have to commit to supporting public transportation. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Bell, and then Mr. Woods, please.
You know, we, in the past administration, we worked with Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Fox, to get additional money to create a whole new fleet of buses for the city of Birmingham and the Max Transit organization. We also are receiving money to build a new maintenance facility for our buses so that the downtown time is not there when buses do break down. We have a surplus of buses so that if one bus breaks down, that driver can immediately get on another bus and keep the routes moving. We're developing what we call bus rapid transit. Bus rapid transit will be express buses that to take people from the core of downtown Birmingham to the western section, the eastern section, the northern section, and the southern section of our metropolitan area. We're also implementing technology so that people will know when their bus is coming. They will have apps, they will have signboards. All of that is in place. We're consistently and constantly working to improve the quality of transportation in our community. In 2021, we've got the World Games coming here to this city. That means we got to put greater emphasis on our transportation network, our transportation system, so that we can move those people around, but do it in such a way that the citizens benefit from it, not just visitors who will come here. You have my commitment that each and every day, I work with the Transit Authority. I work with them because Birmingham is the primary financial sponsor. You're absolutely correct. We get no funding whatsoever from the state of Alabama for our transit system. Why? Because of politics. The road builders, they refuse to allow any of our highway dollars to be spent on public transportation. But I don't let that stop me. I continue to look for ways to bring money in, such as the $20 million that we got from the federal government to develop the bus rapid transit system. We're also working on what's called a PRT. That is a private rapid transportation. That will be a driverless system that will bring people from the airport to the downtown area on a track. These are the type of programs that we've got to develop for the future of our transit system here
in
Birmingham.
Thank you very much. Mr. Woods.
Our mayor was right. The Department of Transportation will not fund the transit, and that's why I'm going to Montgomery to fight that. I'm going to use the power, the influence of the mayor to go and work for you and not work against you like the mayor used his influence to go and take control of your water from the citizens. I would go to Montgomery and fight for the citizens because Alabama is only four states in the United States that does not fund transit. And that's why I'm such a big believer, Birmingham. We may cannot do it alone. We have to unite and regionalize with our sister cities, Hoover, Vestavia, Mound Brook. I'm talking real corporation. Make the transit board a regional board where you have people and other entities involved that has financial stake and claim in it. I mean, I agree with Randall. Efficiency is not acceptable, and it will not be tolerated under the mayor's administration because I would work with those board members to make sure they have what they need in order to have an efficient system. You're right. You can't go to the next level until you solidify what we have. And Randall's right. I'm a big believer in the high-speed rail. I think we're missing too many opportunities, too many booming economic opportunities. A public-private partnership that's already been in place where the public money is available to already participate with a high-speed rail leaving southeast Texas to Atlanta. Coming through Louisiana, Mississippi, and here we in Birmingham, Alabama, holding that project up. I mean, we will come to the forefront and represent the city and make this happen. And I don't think we can do it by ourselves. We have to go to that next level with regional cooperation, going out to 80, so our sister cities see the value of this because Birmingham cannot continue to bear these tremendous financial burdens alone. And
Thank
as
you.
Mayor, I would not allow your tax dollars to just go abuse like that any longer.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Cheryl?
We're getting a lot of good questions from the audience. Thank you so very much. This next question came from the audience from Mr. Woodfin, but I'm going to adapt it so that each of the candidates will have an opportunity to respond. And it's related to history. Each candidate has a history of service in this community or history of running for political office. How do you, Mr. Woodfin, convince Birmingham voters to support your leadership given the current status of education in Birmingham and also the situations that have come about regarding superintendents over the past 4 years? For Mr. Woods, if you would consider your history as a candidate in the past,
yes, ma'am,
and the challenges you have had in dealing with contracting in the city.
Okay.
Mr. Bell, if you will consider the challenges you have faced and both the praise and criticism you have received over the past years as mayor. Thank you.
So we'll have 2 minutes each.
Thank you.
Mr. Woodfin.
My commitment to the city of Birmingham has been in existence for a minimum of 14 years. Having left college to work in the mayor's office 14 years ago, in city council office, as well as JC CEO, being an organizer. My commitment to this city has been for a very long time. And I ran for the school board in 2009, and I lost that race. But I didn't pack my bag and set aside and just not participate in the process. I stayed at the table. And in 2010, I served on the Finance Committee. In 2011, I served on the Policy Committee for our school system. And it taught me a lot about the interworkings of the school system. And during this entire time, I watched as the school board progressively got worse. I watched the state take over. I watched our school system be placed on accreditation probation. I watched our finances go into the shambles. Like you, I read about the fights at the school board. All of this happened before I became on the school board. I think it's important to remind people what happened as board president. Under my leadership, I removed us out of state takeover. I removed us from accreditation probation, where I helped lead that process, as well as get our finances in reserve up, as well as in February 15, for the first time in 20 plus years, lead an effort to gain more local revenue to our school system for now an additional $8.6 million a year for the next 20 plus years, to bring pre-K classes, to bring fine arts back to our school system. And we did it all without the city's help. But more importantly, I did it in a collaborative style of working with my other eight colleagues. Now, as it relates to the merry-go-round of superintendents, I fully disagree with that. And if you check my record, I voted against every time there was somebody tried to fire the superintendent. The number one issue in Birmingham City school system is stability. And we need a mayor that wants to work with the superintendent to make sure that happens. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Woods?
I returned to Birmingham in 1989 when I left Auburn. I left with two rings. I left with a SEC championship ring and a national championship ring. I also left with a wedding ring, my darling wife, Cassandra, 33 years. And I was a first round draft choice of the Los Angeles Raiders in the supplementary draft and was blessed to play 6 years of professional football. And when I returned in 1989, everything my parents had taught me, and I don't mind telling you, I see myself through God's eyes, through the eyes of faith. My parents were two God-fearing people, and that's the way I see myself, and that's the way I live and breathe and everything. So when it comes to making decisions in life, I believe everything God has a plan for you and a calling. And when I returned back to Birmingham in 1989 and started my construction business, I was confronted right away with members who call themselves Association of Minority Contractors, and one of them include the mayor's brother, tend to tell me what the birds and the bees was about business and how I had to pay to play and all this type of stuff. And I rejected it then because of those strong Christian values that were in me. And as time went on, that didn't go away. A young lady by the name of Marjorie Peters approached me and said if I didn't pay, I wouldn't play. And it's all this led me to have strong spiritual convictions. And I ran for mayor over 20 years ago. I was not successful, but my hunger and love for the city thrives and move on. I found myself with that same circumstance in 2010 and 9 with the same individuals telling me that after I had built my company to be in the top 100 construction managers in the United States of America. And to this day, we lead the nation in contractors' requests for change orders because of the Christian integrity that was instilled in me by my parents. In Birmingham, that's what you need. You need that Christian integrity representing you in the mayor's office.
Thank you very much. Mayor Bell, 2 minutes.
You know, you heard a statement that talked about the first takeover of our school system. If you go back and check the record, that was not accurate, what was stated, in terms of getting the state out of here. But what has not been said is the second time that the state came in and took over the school system under Mr. Whitfin's leadership. It was the mayor of the city of Birmingham that made financial arrangements to take property off of the books of the Board of Education so that they would no longer have to spend those funds to maintain those properties. It was the mayor of the city of Birmingham and the council that agreed to give them money for those properties so that they could stabilize their reserves, and that was what led this state school system to get out of Birmingham itself. You heard the candidate talk about the closing of North Birmingham School. The city of Birmingham doesn't control that. The Birmingham Board of Education controls that. If you're sitting on the board and you have the power to open up to maintain schools or close schools, then you should be speaking up for that effort. Now, Mr. Woods has no experience in government whatsoever, none whatsoever. You know, he and Mr. Lankford, if you go back and look at all the contracts that he had, those contracts was under Larry Lankford. I'll let you make your own decision about his integrity and what he'll and what he will or will not do. What I want to do for this city is to make you proud of the city. And I told you in 2010 that I would do that. You need only look around at what's going on. Birmingham is moving in a positive direction that has never moved in before. And I'm committed to making that happen each and every day. The mayor gets blamed for everything. If the sun don't shine, it's the mayor's fault. If the water rises, it's the mayor's fault. Well, one thing I can tell you, I don't shirk away from my responsibility. I'm going to continue to do what's necessary as long as I'm the mayor to make you proud of this great city of Birmingham. Thank you.
Yes. Are we allowed a rebuttal to that question?
Mr. Woodfin, you would like a one-minute rebuttal to that?
I think it's clear to put priorities in place. The city of Huntsville with the $300 million budget compared to the city of Birmingham with a $428 million budget. The city of Huntsville, separate from what their school system gets from the state of Alabama, supports its school system with $20-plus million. The city of Birmingham with a $428 million budget only gives its school system $1.8 million. Check your priorities. The current administration has never been committed to education in this city. Period. Period. And if I call it correctly, the state took over prior to me being on the school board. Okay? So I think we should at least be honest with this audience. Thank you.
Mr. Woods, you would like a rebuttal as well.
I'm up here in the middle, and I can tell you for a certain being
and,
up here in the middle.
And candidates, thank you for keeping an eye on the lights and keeping close to time. And audience, thank you for continuing to maintain a civil and respectful tone for all of the candidates up here. Appreciate it. Mr. Woods.
Hey, restart that clock, brother. All right. Hey, I'm up here in the middle, and one thing for sure, I can tell you what's happened in the past 7 to 8 years. We have lost 7,000 to 8,000 students from our school system. We've lost them. And I believe Birmingham needs a mayor who would support education. The school board cannot do it alone. And it goes back, the mayor say he liked the direction of the city. Well, former Mayor Richard Arrington said last week that Birmingham is on its way to being the next Detroit under Mayor Bayo's administration. Let me tell you something. Detroit is listed as the worst city in America to live in. And unfortunately, I'm running because I love my city too much. Birmingham is in second place. And I love my city too much to allow this to happen. Mayor, you like the way crime is going? We're the third deadliest city in America. I mean, the poverty is rising. My goodness, although billions of dollars may have been spent this zip code, which we are in, is the poorest zip code in the state of Alabama.
Thank you very much.
That's what you want. You vote for
Thank
that
Thank you very
on
much,
August
Mr. Woods. 22nd. Your time is up. Ty?
Shifting gears for a minute, one thing that's been in the news a lot recently is the future of the BJCC, specifically an expansion of the BJCC, a new stadium. I would like to get every candidate's take on what role you see the city playing in that project, specifically when it comes to financing and funding the project.
Let's begin with Mayor Bell, followed by Mr. Woods, and then Mr. Woodfin. Thanks.
The city is committed to building a new stadium. But we can't do it alone. We've got to have other financial partners at the table. And to that end, we've been in discussions with Jefferson County as well as the University of Alabama in Birmingham, ESPN, and a number of private entities here in the city and the metropolitan area to come together to put together the financing necessary to build that stadium. We are close to making a decision. There will be a meeting of those entities within the next 2 weeks, and we will be coming out with a financial plan to do exactly that. The BJCC can't build that stadium by itself. They've got to have the full cooperation and full financial support of a varied number of entities in order to make it happen. I pledge to do that. And you only have to look at my record to know that when we started out some time ago, the first new high school in over 50 years was built by funds that's commonly referred to as the Bell Plan, and that was George Washington Carver High School. So to say that I'm not committed to education is a total falsehood. Again, check the record of the second takeover and see who was on the Board of Education when the state came in and took over this, the operation of the school system. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Woods.
Well, I've attended meetings at the BJCC, and they are desperately in need of additional square footage space for big, big trade shows, and I think we missed out on the opportunity not doing that. But the first order of business under the Woods administration would be to have a forensic independent audit performed. I cannot come up here committing to any major projects that is taxpayers' money, and we need to know, are we healthy financially? Can we really do this? And I'm a planner. I believe in if you fail to plan, you plan and it fail. So we have to plan this and make sure this right. And I'm a big believer in regional cooperation. And whenever we have an opportunity to solidify the region to come together, I think those sister cities need to come and be a part of all this, as well as the financial aspect of it, because the anti-regional benefits from this facility is just should be Birmingham. Mount Brook should pay. Hoover should pay. Vestavia. Let's come together, not just in this, but use this project as an opportunity to really solidify and make the regional cooperation what we really, really needed to see. I believe in going before the neighborhoods, before the people. Letting them have a stake and claim in all of this. The city council need to be at the table. The mayor shouldn't be out gallivanting alone and not including everybody in this. So I'm for that. They need it. That every day goes by, they don't have it. Because we're not talking about football. We're talking about major trade shows. And that's a multi-purpose facility that you can use it for a athletic event, but it's the big trade shows that Birmingham is missing. And I would do it in a way where the people would be involved and it wouldn't be anything that's in the dark, it would be in the light.
Thank you. Mr. Randall Woodfin.
I believe William Bell mentioned earlier that keep checking the record. So let me give it to you. So let's put this to bed right quick. The state took over the school system, summer of 2012. I was sworn in October of 2013, period. As it relates to this question around the stadium, we've been talking about a stadium or a potential dome for years now. It hasn't happened yet. We have to ask ourselves why. We have a current mayor who's very comfortable talking to the business community, talking to the UAB community, talking to private investors, et cetera, and can't walk across the hall to talk to the city council. And so if you have a mayor and a council that can't agree on a stadium or a dome or an open air stadium or whatever we want to call it, that's part of the reason why this hasn't happened yet. We all read the article, AL.com, a couple weeks ago about the stadium is put on hold because of its election season. 7 years, no dome. 7 years, no stadium. How long will we have to talk about this until it happens? Bottom line is this. I'm not opposed to a stadium. I'm not opposed to an open-air stadium or dome, whatever we want to call it. As a matter of fact, I do believe the city has to put up dollars to support it. But it shouldn't be at the expense of basic services and neighborhood revitalization. Every year, we can find money for a new project, new ribbon cutting for some big project. New baseball stadium, phase two of Uptown, Top Golf, phase two of a Crossplex, and we're not even paving streets. Come on, y'all. Let's have a sense of urgency and a commitment to both. Let's do the big picture project and let's take care of all 99 neighborhoods at the same time. As I said earlier, there's not a money problem, it's how our money's being spent. Let's commit to neighborhood revitalization as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Woods. Cheryl?
This question is for all three candidates, and it does relate to neighborhoods in a way. It's a question on gentrification via Facebook from Laura Tucker Galitz. She says, we know that redevelopment is planned for the Southtown Public Housing Community, and to the north of downtown, redevelopment is expected in Druid Hills and Fountain Heights and other neighborhoods. Can the city shepherd the change in these communities without displacing longtime residents? How would a gentrification task force impact these changes?
Let's begin with you, Mr. Woods.
Okay.
And then Mr. Woodfin, and then Mayor Bell.
Oh, gentrification has a negative connotation, and it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, it doesn't have to be negative. You don't hear this term mentioned in Mound Brook or Vestavia, Hoover. What are they doing about gentrification? I think it's our failed leadership to be proactive in community development, to being ahead of the curve. We're always behind the curve. We're always operating with, and the public doesn't know about it. And the way it needs to be as mayor, I can't blame private investors for coming into Birmingham. I invite them to come into Birmingham. But as mayor, I would work alongside with them but to give them incentives and also for the city to make investment to ensure that these long-term residents have affordable housing in that area. Because right now in Birmingham, the perception is the long-term residents are being pushed out, and now the neighborhoods are being upgraded. That goes back to my point. The residents of this city is not a priority to the current administration. Actions speak louder than words. Don't believe any of these campaign lies and rhetoric. If you want to know what a man's going to do, look what he has done. And what I would do, I would put the people first. I would put the people first. No way you can just get rid of those people who've been living up there. And I, as mayor, if it's true what has been said, that contract was awarded to the third lowest bidder, we will terminate that contract our first day in office, and we'll start over and let the people have involvement in this process. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Woodfin.
Those aren't just people in Southtown. And for me, that's family. My family grew up in Southtown. My grandmother lived there up until I was 10 years old. I had an auntie live there as late as 3 years ago, and I still have people there I talk to today. They share with me their concerns. They share with me their frustrations about being displaced or the potential of being displaced. That's a real fear. It's not just talk. The current administration has failed to address the conversation around gentrification. And you can't convene some form of a commission just because it's the eve of the election. A commission or some group to study this is not going to address the real issue. Addressing gentrification requires real leadership. And the current administration in 7 years, seeing pocket growth in our city, has failed to address neighborhood revitalization for the entire city. We also forget that the mayor has appointment power over the housing authority. And in that regards, he should be having a full conversation with the residents in Southtown or any public housing projects that talk about revitalization. Bottom line in Southtown, at a minimum, that entire project should be one for one. No one should fear displacement because everyone who's living there now deserves to remain there, period. But go beyond that. This is really about neighborhood revitalization for the entire city. And we talk about a land bank, but it's not funded in an appropriate way where we can really support neighborhood revitalization and community development for this entire city. We have to have a mayor that's committed to all 99 neighborhoods. And when that mindset exists at City Hall, there's no need to worry about fear of displacement because we're taking care of people who already live here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Bell.
We're working on several public housing projects. The Loveman Village project, which we're going to revitalize that entire area. In order to revitalize it, you've got to take the entire property down to the ground and rebuild it. The federal government would not allow you to displace people. That's in the federal rules and regulations. So all this stuff about we're going to move people out and they can't come back, that's totally erroneous. I heard the same language talked about back years ago when we revitalized what used to be known as Central City and Metropolitan Guard. They said, we don't know why William Bell moving all of us out. Well, those people were allowed, anybody who wanted to come back to Park Place were allowed to come back to Park Place. Go and look at what Park Place looked like right now and compare that to Loveman Village and compare that to Southtown Project. We want to give the citizens of Southtown and Loveman Village the same quality of life that people who live in Park Place have right now. And we're going to do that. Furthermore, we are committed to the entire city. We're working to revitalize Enthy. Enthy is the economic center for the entire western section of Birmingham. If you invest in Enthy, like we're planning on investing in Enthy, it will bring up that entire region. We're committed to doing that. The land bank is working. It is working. We have put in a gentrification task force to make sure that all citizens have the right to live in a decent neighborhood. Now, people complain about, were complaining in the past about, oh, we're losing population. People are moving out. Now we have people moving in. People are complaining about that. You cannot grow a city if you don't create a city that invites everyone to come to the table. And yes, we're going to be responsive to the needs of the citizens who have lived here through tough times because we want them to benefit from the good times that are coming. And no one will be displaced under a William Bell administration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. Ty?
A recent study showed that Metro Birmingham's population, not just the city, and its job growth has lagged behind several competitors around the nation that have a more regional outlook. As mayor, what does regional cooperation look like to you, and what specifically would you do to work with local governments to boost regional cooperation among the many municipalities in Greater Birmingham? And this is for all three candidates.
Start with you, Mr. Woodfin, Mayor Bell, and then Mr. Woods.
The conversation of regional cooperation continues to come up. It's definitely come up in the last couple of weeks from a release of a study done by the Community Foundation around regional cooperation. And the word that keeps coming up, we've moved from consolidation to cooperation. And I think cooperation has a pretty positive connotation, but there's one issue. We got to crawl before we walk. You can't talk about regional cooperation with other mayors of other cities if you can't talk with your own city council. I mean, think about that for a second. How can we talk about we want to partner with, lock arms with other cities, and we don't work together as a city on our own behalf to take care of home? It's impossible. So before we talk about regional cooperation, we first have to work on the mayor having a working and collaborative style of government with the city council first. Two, when we talk about regional cooperation, it centers around workforce development as well as jobs. The number one issue in the region as well as Birmingham is a lack of jobs. Regional cooperation can exist if we commit to, as a region, supporting industry recruitment and job growth. That means having a mayor committed to our school system as it relates to putting more money towards workforce training and workforce development. It also means repurposing some of our recreational centers to invest in workforce training. If we're going to be aggressive about industry recruitment, bringing jobs to our city, we have to support workforce training. But that also means the number one place we're going to get job growth and cooperation from is supporting existing small businesses. That means they need more cooperation from City Hall as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor Bell.
You know, right now, we're in discussions and talks with the city of Centerpoint, with the city of Trustville, and even candidate Woods' home of Irondale, to strengthen those communities, to work with those communities, so that we all can grow and prosper together. I have regular meetings with the Jefferson County Mayors Association to work on common issues. I reach out to mayors such as the mayor of Midfield and the mayor of Bessemer. When Fairfield was struck by storms, the city of Birmingham was one of the first on site to help them with that issue. What you're referring to in reality is how can we move towards metro government? Well, there are a lot of areas that we can collaborate. There are a lot of areas that we can work together. But there's one thing that keeps us from bridging that gap to having a true metro government. That's our Board of Education, our school system. For social reasons, for financial reasons, for scholastic reasons, that's going to be the most difficult area to come together around. we can agree on having a joint task force in terms of buying goods and services. We can agree on in terms of fire support. We can agree on a number of things that all the municipalities come together on. But until we resolve the issue about education and put all of our education system on parity with each other, we will continue to have a problem with coming up with a plan that all municipal governments can work together to move this entire region forward.
Thank you. Mr. Woods.
I disagree with that. It's really wanting to serve the people and give the people the best. And Birmingham would never, ever go to its best, see its best and greatest accomplishment without regional development. Because in the past, Birmingham has been the cash cow for everybody. And under the Woods administration, those days are over. Everyone must come together and pay their fair share. And it can happen with a leader who wants to accomplish it. I can tell you this, I'm one of 13 kids, like I told you, and man, my background has been football and teamwork and business and customer satisfaction is my business motto. And believe me, if I didn't satisfy those customers, I did not keep those customers. So being a part of a team, it's my makeup. So if someone else has a better idea, outshine me, the mayor of Hoover or Beth Stavy, I'm not threatened by anything anybody could propose that would make this successful. And I think what we have is just someone who is self-centered, self-hidden agenda, and do not have the people's best interest. We should be sharing services. And our school system is not holding us back. Our mayor has been holding us back. And I'm an educator. I'll show you better than I'll tell you. Because let me tell you something, and Randall is right. We got to get our house in order first. And let me tell you something, this crime is out of control. Our schools, kids, these are our kids we're talking about. And if we love them as much as we say we love them, we'll be willing to make these sacrifices we're talking about. I want the crime and I want the schools to be the reason why people come into Birmingham. Right now, that is the reason that they are leaving. So we'll reverse that trend. I am committed 100% to regional cooperation. I don't believe Mayor Bayer understands it.
Thank you.
He mentioned that he helped the mayor with a track or a park.
Thank you, Mr. Woods.
And regional cooperation is
coming together.
Appreciate it.
That is time. Thank you very much, Mr. Woods.
Thank you.
Cheryl.
This question is from the audience. It says, and it's for all the candidates, Birmingham continues to be hampered by dysfunctional relationships between the mayor's office and the Birmingham City Council. If you are successful, what immediate and intermediate steps will you take to improve that relationship so people get a united local government that works for the citizens' good rather than factions?
Let's go from left to right. We'll start with you, Mayor Bell, then Mr. Woods and Mr. Woodfin.
Each week, over 95% of the items that's placed on the council agenda is approved by the Birmingham City Council. I oftentimes hear, well, the mayor doesn't communicate with the council, and that's totally not true. We can back that up with emails and memos and a number of other documentations that we have submitted to the council. The council is fully aware, and the council president is involved in the financial discussions about the stadium, and just the other day, the council president, along with the mayor, announced that we got a new professional soccer league coming here to Birmingham, Alabama. This city is moving forward. Forget about the political rhetoric that you hear each and every day. We work together to fund the renovation of our parks throughout the city of Birmingham. The statement was made that no streets are being paved. Streets are being paved right now as we speak. This is the second phase of phasing. Of paving. We did the first phase of paving 2 years ago. If you drive down Martin Luther King Boulevard and Lom Avenue, you will see that road is paved. If you drive down Graymont, you will see that road is paved. If you go into the West End neighborhood, you will see that road has roads over there are being paved. If you go across the bridge on Jefferson Avenue, the city of Birmingham built a brand new bridge. And it requires the cooperation and collaboration of the council and the mayor's office. And we do that on a regular basis. Now, I know that challenges come whenever you get people together and you're in a center of power. But there's only one mayor. There's only one mayor. Sometimes people think that there are 10 counselors. Sometimes people think there are 10 mayors. But there's only one mayor with the administrative responsibility to move this city forward. Council is a legislative function. And they have the power to set regulations and parameters within which the mayor must operate. And I do that on a daily basis.
Thank you. This
city is in the best condition that it's ever been in. Thank you.
That is time. Thanks very much. Mr. Woods?
Well, the mayor did answer the question, and I'll answer it for him. The mayor is elected to be the administrator of the city. The city council is the legislative arm of the city. We have a mayor who wants to do both. And you must have checks and balances and work with the council. One of my legislative agendas would be to go to Montgomery and work with our state legislators to roll back the clock with the changes that were made to the recent Mayor Council Act. Mayor Bell went to Montgomery and got Oliver Robinson to change the Mayor's Council Act. And what it did, in essence, is weaken. It went against the city council. To fight against the city council, when Mayor Bell was appointed mayor by Richard Ayrton and lost to Bernard Kincaid, he went back on the council and stripped Mayor Kincaid of his spending power. Now he's the mayor having to deal with these things that he instituted, and he went to Montgomery and reversed it. So that clearly proves we have a mayor who wants his way or no way, and his way over the people's way. And I say it again, if you want to know what a man's going to do, look what he has done. What he is doing is trying to govern by bullying. And the people interests must she always be above personal interests. And I assure you as mayor that I will always perform my fiduciary responsibilities for the citizens of this city, and it would never, ever be a question. I would work with the council. I see a benefit in doing that. And the reason why we have a problem here, because of personal and hidden agendas. Jonathan Austin told me the mayor did not contact him at all about that soccer press conference. He found out about
Thank you, Mr. Woods, 10 minutes prior
to us happening.
Thank you very much.
And this mayor stands here and lies like it's his native
land.
That is
time, Mr. Woods. Thank you. Mayor Bell would like a one-minute rebuttal, and then we'll have Mr. Woodfin's two-minute response. Mayor Bell, would you care to give your rebuttal?
You know, the last time I checked, under the democratic process, one legislator can't change anything. You have to have a majority of vote of the delegation or the entire body. They understood what was going on here in Birmingham. They were the ones that said, we want a mayor who has the ability to continue to move this city forward and not be hamstrung by local politics. You know, I feel sorry for the gentleman sitting next to me. I really do. I really do. He's in a desperate situation. He really doesn't understand how to move government forward. We're going to continue to work to move this city forward and make you proud of Birmingham. Thank you.
Well, but the thing about it is this.
I'm sorry.
No. Hey, man, this real now. This
Mr.
real.
Mr. Woods, we need to.
Oliver Robinson was also his point man over in
Mr. Woods.
His point man on the payday.
I appreciate
lenders.
It. Mr. Woods, we need to keep on moving. Woodfin, your two-minute response. Thank you.
Oh, he rebutted, I thought.
Mr. Woodfin.
Thank you. The Birmingham Business Journal, who's co-putting on this event we're sitting in right now, recently did a survey about the number one issue in the city of Birmingham or what's holding the city back. The top results that came back were the mayor and council relationships, not jobs, not poverty, not crime, not infrastructure issues. The current administration under William Bell's leadership does not play in the sandbox well with the current council. Every single person in this room is on notice that for the last 7 years, the current administration refuses to cooperate and or work with the current council, but is seeking a third term. Let me tell you about the importance of listening. I grew up in a household with never less than 8 people in my home, 4 generations. Had a chance to spend a lot of time with my great-grandmother, who taught me the importance of being patient as well as listening. I as mayor have to listen to the city council because they represent the same people I represent with real issues, real frustrations. And it doesn't take a lot to text, call, email, or actually talk to city councilors in person. This current mayor refuses to do that. We need a mayor who understands a collaborative style of leadership. It doesn't exist, because here's all you need to know. If the mayor wanted to work with the council, he would have told those legislators, don't pass this bill, because it will hurt the council-mayor relationship worse than what it is. But he supported it, because he wanted more power to take away from them when he can't get his way. You can't bully city council people and expect them to want to work with you. We need a mayor that is committed to understanding what listening means, having a collaborative style of government means, and communicating with the council if we are going to move our city forward. And the current administration has failed to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Ty West has our final question, and then we'll move on to closing statements.
This is a quick one. As mayor, would you or would you not be willing to sign an agreement with other local governments that would prohibit poaching and offering incentives to lure one company from somewhere else within the metro area?
Yes.
Mr. Woods, we'll start with you, Mr. Woodfin, and then Mayor Bell.
Well, see, that's a part of my regional cooperation plan. It's a thick book of policies that I don't have all the ideas yet, because I believe in involving and uniting the people and bringing the best and brightest minds together. I've been a business owner and going from Birmingham to Vestavia or Hoover, getting buildings permits and things like that. That regional cooperation, we all need to be on the same page. It's so much, I don't have time to unpack it, but of course we will. That's a part of signing a regional cooperation document, which the mayor does not understand. I would be willing to do that because it would be imperative for the regional cooperation to be successful without written, established agreements and guidelines from that aspect of it.
Thank you. Mr. Woodfin?
Repeat the question, please.
As mayor, would you be willing to sign an agreement with other local governments to prohibit the poaching of businesses using incentives from one metro government to another?
I would. I would be comfortable as mayor with that agreement. Since I got some time, I think it's important that we talk about one of the words that was mentioned in this question, which is incentives. Current administration gives out $16 million in incentives, but gives the school system less than $2 million a year. Again, priorities. We give out incentives that are mainly downtown, but we fail to give those same incentives to commercial corridors west of town, north of uptown, and in our east side of town. When we talk about incentives, it's important that these incentives at a minimum be attached to jobs. And we never get that conversation, right? We never hear the city's giving out these many incentives, here's how many jobs it's gonna bring. We have to be responsible with the incentives we give out, and today we're not. We give away the farm all the time as it relates to bringing things downtown. And here's the deal about downtown. It's good to see our city be a part of a national trend. People want to be downtown. But from a supply and demand standpoint, we don't have to give away the farm anymore to lure people downtown. It's time to spread some of those incentives to other commercial corridors in town in support of our existing small businesses, as well as to lure other businesses to come and invest in and support our other sides of town. No one can say it's responsible to put $40 million into one building in downtown Hensley and not put $40 million into the entire Hensley community. And you only want to do that, again, because it's the eve of the election. We can't talk about Hensley just because it's an election year. We should have been talking about Hensley 7 years ago. In 2010, in 2011, in 2012, in 2013, 14, 15, and 16, no one heard Ainsley come out of William Bell's mouth. That's unacceptable, period. Thank you.
Mayor Bell.
To answer the question, I'm willing to work with the other regional municipalities to do exactly that. In fact, we've done that. One of the candidates mentioned about bringing the SEC baseball championship here. Well, part of the agreement that we had with the city of Hoover is that we would support Hoover to keep the SEC baseball team there. Why would we go and poach off of them, create an enemy? So we're trying to work cooperatively. The statement was made that we only invest in downtown Birmingham. Well, go and ask Inland Seafood over in the Inns area that we just worked out an agreement to give them incentives to expand and create more jobs over there in the Inns community. You go and talk to companies that are on the east side of town where we have invested to create over 600 new jobs here in the city on the outlying area. Go and talk to PNS Transportation over in the Inns community. And to say Inns hadn't come out of my mouth when the tornado hit in 2011, and we brought the RUDAG group from the Architectural Institute to come in here to tell me that Inns was the heartbeat of the financial heartbeat of the Western section, and we started investing in Inns during that period of time. $40 million is not going into the 10-story building, the Ramsey McCormick building. It's only going to take about $10 to $12 million to renovate that building. The other $28 or $30 million is going to go into the infrastructure of the entire Inslee area to bring it back. You have to have a global understanding as to how you make progress. How do you commit to a project that will change the dynamics and character of a community? The same criticism was large when we built the Uptown District, saying nobody's going to come. It's a waste of money, but it's generating tens of millions of dollars worth of economic development. That's what's going to happen in the Inslee area. That's what's happening out in Camtech, where we invested in the expansion of their operation to support the automotive industry.
Thank you. Thank you. That wraps up the questions portion of the debate. Let's move on to closing statements, and let's begin left to right. We'll start with you, Mayor Bell.
Well, first of all, again, let me thank the Business Journal along with WBHM for hosting this candidates forum. I've been the mayor for the past 8 years. You only simply have to open up your eyes to see the progress that's being made all over the city. Have we addressed all of the problems? No, we have not. Can we address all of the problems at the same time? We can address them, but we can't solve them all at the same time. I'm a very pragmatic individual. I know what I know. I don't know everything. I rely on other individuals to advise me as to what's the best way to move this city forward. I've developed relationships in Washington, D.C., Montgomery, Jefferson County, and even within the city council government itself to move this city forward. Birmingham has had tremendous growth. Now, you can take a roll of the dice, gamble on somebody who has no record of public service, or you can roll the dice and count on someone who does have a record of public service, but look at what that record has yielded us in terms of the quality of our school system. I can point to project after project, initiative after initiative that continues to move this city forward. I'm asking you for your support. I'm asking you for your understanding that together we can move this city forward and make it the crown jewel of this state and of this country. We get more positive press now about Birmingham, Alabama on a national and international level than we've ever had before. We will have the world come to Birmingham in 2021 because of the initiatives that we put in place. They came here and looked at Birmingham, not just downtown, but the entire area, to see the quality of life and how it is being improved on a day-to-day basis. Crime is an issue, but it's not just an issue for Birmingham. It's an issue for the entire metropolitan area and the entire country. There is no community in this metropolitan area or this state or this country that has been unaffected by crime. Part of the problem is drugs.
To that end, that's time.
Thank you all. Vote William Bell, August 22nd.
Thank you very much. Mr. Woods.
This election is too important for anyone to sit on the sidelines. Some people play the game. Some people watch the game. Some people don't know the game being played. And we implore all of you to get in the game. You must get in this game. It is just too much at stake. Our children's future, they are on the line. And I'm offering myself. No, I've never held public office, and I think that's the problem. Cronyism and career politicians. It's the problem that we have. We need people who are going to be honest with you and not have hidden agendas. And I don't mind telling you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. God's love is in you. His love is in me. And I have a personal relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And why I can say that? Because if I don't love you, I cannot serve you. I can't serve you if I don't love you. And what we have had, self-serving, self-enrichment, hidden agendas, and it's time to put the people first. And I assure you, under the Woods administration, every day of my life, I would not make a decision without the best interest of the citizens of this city. If you want a dangerous city that continues to rise in crime, and I remind you what former Mayor Richard Andrews said, this city is the only way to be in a Detroit under Mayor Bell's leadership. I mean, my understanding of progress is when everybody participates. And how can you neglect your own community when poverty is on the rise? And we have to stop playing this thing about education. I don't care how the education system got there. I have a plan, Birmingham, to fix it. I have a plan, Birmingham, to make our streets safe. I have a plan, Birmingham, to create jobs and to unite us all for one and one for all. Together we stand. Divided we fall. We are all in this together.
Thank you
people.
Very much.
We are all
Thank you, Mr.
in
Woods.
It together.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank Thanks. You. Thank you.
Mr. Woodfin, your closing statement.
So again, my name is Randall Woodfin, and I am honored to be a candidate for Mayor of Birmingham. I want to thank Birmingham Business Journal as well as WBHM for putting this on. Roll the dice. Roll it, because what we currently have is not working. Reasons why we need to vote Tuesday, January 19, 2010 for William Bell. And I quote, the way you know what a person will do is by looking at what they've already done. For the last 7 years, nothing has been done to improve the quality of life of the people that live here. He will be accessible and accountable to the citizens of Birmingham. No transparency. He will maintain and create jobs by accessing stimulus dollars. We've had zero job growth. He will improve the quality of education in Birmingham City Schools. With the almost $500 million budget, he gives less than 1% of that money in support of schools. He will continue to reduce crime and make our city safer by supporting the Birmingham Police Department. We have a police force that's understaffed and crime on the rise. And I can go on and on and on about the promises made 7 years ago from William Bell. He's failed at those promises. We are a city full of broken promises. And this front table is in support of things that are not working for our city. It is time we have a mayor with a sense of urgency that is committed to improving the quality of life of the people that live here. It is time we have a mayor with a collaborative style of government, of helping and working with the council to improve the quality of life of the people that live here. And it's time to have a mayor that supports small businesses in this city to make sure they don't leave. That if you want to open your business, renew your business license, expand your business, or grow, you have a mayor that wants to work with you. Because as a city, we're dependent on those small business owners. But something way more important than that, y'all. We need a mayor that's committed to supporting investing in our youngest generation to change the city.
Thank you, Mr. Woodfin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes our 2017 Birmingham mayoral debate presented by the Birmingham Business Journal and WBHM. Thanks to WBHM's Cheryl Wheeler Stewart and the Birmingham Business Journal's Ty West for helping lead the debate. The program was engineered by Daryl McCullough. It was edited by Andrew Yeager. Special thanks to the Harbert Center staff. WBHM's general manager is Chuck Holmes, and the Birmingham Business Journal's publisher is Joel Welker. I'm WBHM's news director, Gigi Duban. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to vote August 22nd.